If we would know God as he is, we should neither take our own idea nor adopt the world's estimates, but see him as he has revealed himself in his word, especially in the gospel, which began to be spoken by his son, the only teacher competent to instruct us here. This is a quote coming to you from the Biblical Illustrator. In this broadcast entitled, A Prevalent Spirit of This Age, we are going to look at three verses of scripture, and we are going to see how they apply to leaders, to the ungodly, and to God's people, and how it also relates to the prevalent spirit of this age. Okay, starting and looking at the three verses, this is what they are. Exodus 5:2 says, And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. The second verse is Job 21:15. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? And the third and final verse is Proverbs 30, verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Okay, so starting off, these are three verses. They are the context of the text of this message. And we want to look at Exodus 5, verses 1 to 2 to get the context of what's being said here. Verse 1 starts off with this. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Okay, so here we see that Moses and Aaron were told by the Lord God of Israel to go into Pharaoh, give him a command from me. That command was, let my people go that they may serve me, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now Pharaoh's response was this, Who is the Lord? Who is this Jehovah that I should obey his voice? What claims does he have on me? I am under no obligation to him. You see, Pharaoh was not familiar with the name Lord or Jehovah. He never heard of it before. And Pharaoh knew of no superior monarch to him, and especially one whose orders he was obliged to obey in any respect. So he boldly and blatantly said, Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? And this is language of independence. I want you to catch that, because that's the prevalent spirit of this age, the language of independence. Who is the Lord? It's also the language of decided opposition, of contemptuous rejection of divine authority, and also the language of insolent defiance. It's the setting up of one's will against that of Jehovah. And this is what Pharaoh was meaning when he said, Who is the Lord? He said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. I don't know him, nor do I care for him. I don't value him, nor do I fear him. Who is the Lord? Now we find in Exodus where God told Moses, as he was commissioning him, he told him what his name was. He said, I am that I am. And then as we go on and read in Exodus, and after several of the plagues came upon Pharaoh in Egypt, now we find Pharaoh finally agreeing or consenting that the Lord is righteous. And we see this in Exodus 9:7, where it says, And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time, The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Okay, so Pharaoh got thus far, he was able to speak and say, the Lord is righteous. But that wasn't good enough. You see, it's not good enough to say that Jesus was a prophet, or Jesus was a good teacher, or Jesus went about doing good. No, you have to come to the place where you say, Jesus is Lord. And Pharaoh wasn't ready to say that yet. All he could come up with was, the Lord is righteous. He's right. He's just. He's good. But that's not good enough. Who is the Lord? Why am I to obey his voice? What is your Jehovah to me? What authority does he have over me? He is at best your God, but he's not mine. And he went on to say, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? You see, he didn't realize that the Lord, Jehovah, was not only the God of the Hebrews, but the supreme ruler of the world. And here was Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, a king over a great people. And he's being told that he should obey the God of Israel, these poor enslaved people. And it was as if he was saying, shall I, that rule the Israel of God, obey the God of Israel? See, one mistake he made was he estimated the character and the power of this God by the abject and miserable condition of his worshipers. I mean, you know, you're expecting me to obey the God of the people that I have enslaved. And see, the rulers of this world make that same mistake today. They are making the same mistake thinking, well, look at the Christians. They're being slaughtered, persecuted, ruled. And where is their God? Where is their God? If he's such a powerful God, why doesn't he come and rescue his people? Big mistake. Big mistake. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And he receives glory from the lives of his saints as well as from the death of his saints. And Pharaoh soon found out that the Lord was powerful, the all-powerful God, even though the condition of his people at that time were that they were his slaves. So who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And we are seeing that this same spirit is prevalent among the rulers of the nations of the world today, especially when it comes to Israel. We have rulers that don't care to hear what the Bible says about Israel. They don't care to hear who this God, Lord God of Israel, is. But, and that's their prevalent spirit. The attitude is, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Okay, now we want to look at this prevalent spirit of this age as it relates to the ungodly. We find this in Job 21, verses 7 through 15, this particular passage. And this is where Job says, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power. They spend their days in wealth. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? Okay, now notice, the ungodly in Job's day, they're in power, mighty in power, they're wealthy, and as a result, they have this attitude. They say to God, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of your ways. And then they come out and say, which is the text, one of the texts, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? In other words, who is he? What is in him? In his nature, excellencies, perfections, that we should that should oblige us to serve him. What claim has the Almighty on us? that would make us bound to obey and worship him? What authority does he have over us? What allegiance do we owe to him? Why should we yield our will to his? And their whole attitude was, we feel no obligation to obey him. We are happy as flesh and blood can make us. Our kingdom is of this world, and we wish for no other portion than that which we have. That was the attitude of the ungodly in Job's day. And that is the language of the human heart everywhere. That is the attitude of the people of today, the ungodly. Have you ever noticed, you know, if you witness to people lately, I'm hearing, you know, many people respond when you witness to them. They'll respond by saying, oh, I'm okay. I believe in Jesus. I'm doing good. I have a family. I have a job, a good job. I have a home, a car. Everything's going well for me. And, you know, I have my beliefs. I have my beliefs. I really don't need all that. I don't need that. And this is the prevalent spirit of this age, as it was in the days of Job, where man is seeking to deny the authority of God over him and to feel that God has any claim to him. It boils down to this. Man desires to be independent of God. He would cast off the claims of God on him. And that it was that way in Job's day, and it is in our day as well. Listen to what Barnes Noble said. Such is man, dependent for every breath he draws on that great being, whose government and authority he so contemptuously disowns and rejects. Oh yeah, he's dependent on God for every breath, but yet he disowns and rejects his government and authority. The ungodly in Job's day pretended to have no knowledge of God. They didn't have any sense, no sense of his claims on them. They said, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? You know, this is rather strange that the creature would be saying to the Creator, that he would be speaking so insolently, absurdly, unreasonably, slightly of God. But yet this question supposes that they think themselves under no obligations to serve him. And they're not willing that God should reign over them. They don't want to be obedient to his commands and ordinances. They just want to serve their various lusts and pleasures. They want, in a sense, to be the servants of sin and Satan rather than the worshipers of God. And these people, the ungodly in Job's day, they were saying, we who are rich and mighty in power, shall we be subject and accountable to him? No, we are lords. We are the lords. What is the Almighty that we should obey him? And that's the same spirit of the ungodly in our age, that desire to be independent of God. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? Listen to what John Gill said. One would think the attribute of Almighty they own and acknowledge is sufficient to engage to it, since he is the lawgiver that is able to save and to destroy, even to destroy with an everlasting destruction, both soul and body in hell, who obey him not. But fullness of riches, power, and authority swell the mind with pride and put men on asking such questions and running such lengths as these. It was the fullness of riches, power, and authority that swelled their minds with pride. It did it back then in Job's day, and it's doing it today. Where a man's mind is swelled with pride, he doesn't need God. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? Okay, we looked at how it relates to the leaders, how it relates to the ungodly. Now we want to look at how it relates to the Christians, this prevalent spirit of our age. looking at Proverbs 30, verses 1 to 9, this passage of scripture, the words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy. And he says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. He's saying this to the Lord. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. And then the text, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Lest I be full and deny thee. Another way of saying is, lest being filled, I become false, a hypocrite, and say, who sees me? Compromise, sin, who sees me? But those words, lest I be full, what Agur was meaning there was, he was saying that wealth tempts to pride, unbelief, and scorn. What he was saying in a sense was, prosperity makes people proud and forgetful of God, as if they had no need of him and were therefore under no obligation to him. Now, this is what Agur was bringing out when he said, lest I be full. Now, are we against prosperity? No. Is the Bible against prosperity? No. But it's a warning to everyone, the people of God, that what Agur says here is true. Lest I be full, that prosperity can make you proud and forgetful of God if you are not careful. Fullness breeds forgetfulness, self-confidence, and practical unbelief. When everything's going well, you begin to forget God. Lest I be full, what he meant by that was you start putting your trust in riches and you forget God. Lest I be full and deny thee. Actually, that's what he said, and deny thee. When you trust to riches instead of to God, you are denying God. Denying God. Now, some people might disagree with that or balk at that, because to deny God is to act and live as if there's no righteous governor and judge of mankind to whom we are accountable. But it also is denying him when you are full of the things of this world and you start attributing the things you're receiving from God, the blessings, you start attributing it to your own care, your diligence, your industry, your hard work. Look what I have done. And you think that you can live without God. You start having this independence. You know, things start getting busy, hectic. Oh, your things are going well. You're too busy for God. You let off Bible study, prayer, fellowship with Christians, worshiping God. And, you know, you go a whole week without reading the Bible. And you think, well, God didn't smack me, knock me down. And I'm successful. Things are going well. And, giving up prayer. Your desperation for God is not there anymore. And you see that you stop thanking him for every little thing. And you start flattering yourself with the continuance of this prosperity, success, wealth, without any regard to God. This is what it means to deny him. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Well, who just said that? Pharaoh. Just like Pharaoh. And you end up, whether you say it with your words or with your heart or with your life. And in a sense, what you're saying to the Lord, I'm not obliged to you. I can live without you. I can make it without you. I'm doing good by myself. I have enough. I don't need you. I can live on my own without you. And by degrees, this atheism and this infidelity starts slipping in. And there's no better example of this than the passage of scripture we're all familiar with in Revelations 3. 14 to 17, where Jesus rebuked the church of the Laodiceans. And this is what he said. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There is a spirit, a prevalent spirit of this age. It's a spirit of independence of God. It's affecting the leaders of the nations, that they are making decisions, especially concerning Israel, without consulting God, not caring what the Lord has to say. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? It's a spirit that's prevalent among the ungodly. They don't need God. Everything's fine the way it is. I don't need your Jesus. And it's also a spirit that's entering the church today, where there are many people that have lost their desperation, their desire for Jesus, because they're full. They're full. And they're looking to, they're putting their trust in their riches and their comfort and their security and the things of this world, and forgetting God. And while they're forgetting him, they're denying him. Oh, take this message as a warning today that the spirit is prevalent right now. Let me ask you, have you yielded to it? Have you come under its spell this day? Then it's time to cry out to Jesus, pull me back, Lord, pull me back. Don't let me fall in this downward spiral that the ungodly of this world are going in. This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that you would convict everyone under the sound of my voice, that you would speak to them, Lord, right now. Show them in any way, shape, or form, fashion, that they have yielded to the spirit of independence. Oh God, if there was ever a time we needed Jesus, it's now. We need you now more than ever. Oh Lord, I pray that you would take this spirit of independence and cast it away from your church, Lord God. Oh God, I pray that there would be a hunger and a thirst more than ever for the Lord Jesus in your church and even in the world today. And I thank you for what you're going to do in response to this message in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.